I call this meeting to order. Please stand and reflect.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby?
Here.
Councilmember Edelman?
Here.
Councilmember Stout?
Here.
Councilmember Wisnowski?
Here.
So do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
I make a motion to approve the agenda for tonight.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We have a presentation today from Black Diamond Community Center, Cheryl Hansen.
Hi, I'm Cheryl Hansen. I'm the director of the Black Diamond Community Center in Black Diamond. Been there almost 8 years. That's a miracle. So I'm here to thank the council and the mayor for the fact that you accepted my preliminary budget request of $15,000. And I wanted to explain, last year we requested $10,000, we were awarded $10,000, and that was fantastic. It was primarily for my insurance, for my building. This year our insurance is going up, but I also included in that budget request money for our generator. It costs about $3,000 a year to keep that generator up and going. And for those council people that may not know, we're a warming and a cooling center, and that generator is very important. So, for instance, in August, we had a lot of extra seniors and people that came in just to stay cool because we have an air conditioner. But if there's ever a power outage, we wouldn't. So that generator is very important to us, but it does take money. So that's why the request went from $10,000 to $15,000. So I brought the invoices, and I always give those to May if the request is granted. But I did bring the information. Our insurance is going to go up. I just don't know exactly how much, but they said it would go up. So I brought that. If there's any questions about the those two budget requests, it was a total in here of $15,000, which is what I requested. So are there questions that you want me to answer while I'm standing here in front of you?
Well, I just want to make a comment because you do such a tremendous service to our city and to our citizens, and I want to thank you. But I also would recommend that if things come in that, like, with your changes with the insurance, if it's going to exceed that $15,000, that come back to the city council.
Okay.
And we'll see what we can do, if there's some extra bucks that we can find for you.
I really
because what you do is such a tremendous service.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think that's going to be significant based on what Walt has, my insurance broker, has told us. So we've had no violations. We stay up with the fire codes and everything like that. So I can't imagine, but I thank you for that. And I think for you, councilman, I don't know if you know about what all we do at the community center, but we've been serving Black Diamond for over 30 years. We started out in Mayor Botts's garage over here as just a food bank, and then we were able to get the building we're on 169 27 years ago through a block grant from King County. We now own that building because we did great service for everybody, and King County was satisfied. They gave us the deed to that building, so that's a value. But we're a clothing bank and a food bank. Right now we have free coats for everybody and has some gloves. We got a grant from Zumi, so we provide that service. We have diapers, we have the seniors, we have exercise programs. So there's a lot that we do for the community. So that's why I felt it was valid that I could come to the council and request some money, because we do a lot for the community. Yes.
Councilmember Dean.
So yes, the community center does a lot for the citizens. But it also helps with the council agreeing to make that insurance payment. It alleviates that pressure of trying to raise that money every year to facilitate that demand for our insurance, and also for that generator. It's definitely needed. I mean, it is a warming and a cooling center for us. It is a place for not just our seniors to go in case of an emergency, but for everybody to go if they need the help. So
great.
It benefits, you know, our community, and it's
And it's good, you know, that we haven't heard anybody complain over the last few years that we're helping the community center. Obviously, it's taxpayer money, you know, so we're using taxpayer money to help the community center to be able to keep that insurance and this year to get that generator. So.
Right. And if you listen to the news and how they feel about earthquakes or power outages and whatever, it's very significant. We could legally hold 250 people there. We have water, and we also have food because it's a food bank. So, I mean, we could act as a shelter in place if we needed to be for an emergency. So I appreciate it. Any other questions about the community center and what
we
do?
Why don't you talk about the Christmas tree lighting on Friday?
We do have a Christmas tree lighting. Yes, we've got Santa Claus coming, ho, ho, ho. Although I was at the Eagles giving a presentation earlier, and I saw another guy that looked like Santa Claus, so he must be in town early. But it's going to be decent weather, and we have it's free. And we have hot chocolate and cookies. It starts at 6 o'clock. We have pictures that are also free for the community. We send out flyers in Spanish and English. We send them out. We really try to target Cedar Brook, and that's something they can do. Along with that, Christmas tree lighting is our Giving Tree program right now. We have 88 families, average children in that, in it per family is three. We have a couple that are five or six that will all receive at least one, if not two toys, on the 19th of December. So those are all donated from people in the community. We have giving trees at St. Barbara's, at the Lake Sawyer store, and at the library, and of course in our building. But it's a great community service for our families. Something else we're emphasizing for the city of Black Diamond, people don't pay attention. I have 11 grandparents raising grandchildren. And for me at my age, I know what it's like when expenses go up. Can you imagine being a grandparent, being on a fixed budget, and knowing that you've got responsibility for your kiddos? So we help out a lot of grandparents. We have a lot of sets of grandparents and some individuals. So that's another group in Black Diamond that we're trying to emphasize and help. And they get invited to the tree lighting, and they're also getting toys for those grandchildren and diapers for their, if they have little children. So, because believe it or not, Women, Infant, and Children's a great state program, WIC. They don't give diapers, which is, I just think it's unbelievable. If you look at the cost of diapers, we have lots of diapers. So that's a service that we give for free. And St. Barbara's brings us in diapers every single week, as does Lake Sawyer Community Church, two of our great supporters. So, yes.
What's your biggest need? If for average people to come and drop off or donate?
Diapers.
Diapers?
Because we have a lot of children right now, Cedar Brook. We have a lot of families. And then I'd be happy, Tammy could get you, or Jamie, they could get you our list of food that we need right now for people that maybe don't have an oven but just have a stove. We have particular food that they like that they can cook on their just on their stovetops. So that's the biggest thing. We're lucky, right? We have coats. We always need clean sleeping bags and blankets for our clothing bank.
The other thing, too, cash always works.
I know, but people like to give things.
Yeah.
Well, and sir, you know what? If they want to come in, we have quite a few tags on our trees because we took way more families. So we really would appreciate if people would come in and get the tags off of our trees. They could do it this Friday or this whole week. We're there 8 to 4, so to help those. Because the tags that are on there, the kiddos are going to get the family, and it's going to come out of our budget. Because once we commit to a family that fills out that application, they're going to get their Lego set or their Barbie doll or whatever it is. We just don't not give them something. So we end up buying that.
Thanks.
Okay, anything else?
Thank you, Cheryl.
You're welcome. Oh, yay! Oh, my board members are here.
So this is time for first public comments. If you wish to speak to council, please come up to the podium and state your name and your city of residence and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Is there anybody wishing to address council? Kristen?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Kristen Bryant, and I live in Bellevue, and I grew up in Black Diamond. My comment is on the public hearing and the related stormwater rate increase that we're going to have, but it's not a comment for the public hearing. I'll save that. Just an agenda concern. The stormwater rate increase was discussed at a special meeting 2 weeks ago, and the public hearing for it is tonight at a meeting that is also not a regular meeting, it is a special meeting. Thus, there hasn't been discussion of this item at a regular council meeting for the public. Then, already published for Thursday this week, coming up, is the consent agenda for Thursday night. That includes passing the stormwater fee increase. That is likely, means it's likely to pass in the first 60 seconds of the meeting after the Pledge of Allegiance. And there won't be any council discussion or opportunity for further public comment at any regular council meeting. It'll be lumped in with about 9 other items. All of those items on the consent agenda, especially when they are tax or fee increase related, are not good government. It's not transparent, and it places too little value on the public's opportunity for comment and public involvement. Thank you.
Judy?
Judy Watson, Black Diamond. I just wanted to remind everybody in this big crowd that we have, our annual hometown Christmas, this is our fifth year, and it's been put on by the ladies of the museum, but it's all for the children. We have all kinds of crafts. It's one day. We've got hay rides, our wreath making, painting, face painting over the eagles. We've got cookie decorating. The kids can go in from the bakery and get a cookie and decorate themselves. Storyteller at the museum, magic show, they'll be singing. But anyway, it's a fun day for kids. So if you have children and grandchildren, please bring them.
And that's this Saturday, right, Judy?
That's right, this Saturday.
So is there anybody else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment session. It's now time for our public hearings. We have an ordinance regarding this increase in the monthly stormwater rate. Ms. Miller.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Tonight is our public hearing on the stormwater utility rate. When we put together the budget this year, it became evident that the stormwater utility really needed a rate increase for cash flow. The preliminary analysis showed that we would be in a deficit position 10 months out of the 12 if we didn't have a rate increase by January. We had hired Mr. Ashley Emery of Peninsula Financial Consulting. He had done the rate study in 2014, and we asked him to update his computer model that would be able to show a lot of what-ifs and would be able to look out into the future with different growth rates to see what kind of rate increase we needed. When he did the last rate study in 2014, at that time, he projected that we needed to go to $20 a month from 16 by 2015. Well, that didn't happen. As each year, we thought, well, we're growing. The MDIRT project's going to start right away, and that we probably wouldn't need it. But we put it off really too long, and it became evident this year that we really needed. In addition to that, during the last few years, we've continued to have the regulatory state Department of Ecology mandates that we update through our permitting process, all the growth management mandates for stormwater. So that's continued to put expense pressure on the fund. When we looked through the rate analysis, it looked like, from my preliminary view, that we needed to go either to $18 or $19 a month. And he was able to put it in his long-range forecast formula and show different growth rates. A real low rate would have to have even a higher rate increase. Right now, we're projecting 100 new permits a year. And since they don't all come in January, you figure that is 50 new rates of $16 a month, and that really did not produce enough cash. The council and the city really are responsible, fiscally responsible, to make sure that there are rates in place to make sure that we can continue to pay our operating costs and any debt and capital costs. So we are in a bit of a tight spot this year. We do have to let King County know by December 13th if we're going to have a rate increase next year, because they collect most of the residential rates through their property tax billing process. So the recommendation is that we go not to $20 a month for a residential, but to $19. That looked like, with the same growth we had this year, if we project that next year, we're not... We still have a bit of a deficit, but it's enough with the increased growth that in a year or so we will be out of the total annual deficit, and that will provide the needed cash flow that we need. In addition to that, we looked at an inflationary rate increase starting in 2020, and that is just whatever the CPIU is each year. We'll go ahead and increase that. That will help us so that we won't get behind as other costs increase over time. And what Mr. Emery also pointed out is if we have more growth than that, we simply don't need to do the inflationary increase. So each year as we go through the budget, we'll be able to look at that and look at where, how much our growth is and how those rates are holding up. And that is easier not to increase your inflationary increase if you don't increase it. So that was what he recommended. And we're here then tonight to answer any questions. I did want to point out that for residents, that would be a $3 a month increase. And for a Lifeline or disabled resident, that would be a $1.50 a month increase. And for commercial, it would be higher than that because it's based on how many equivalent units you have. So if you're twice as big, say, as a resident, your rate increase would be twice that amount. So I did want to point that out. We also looked at comparison with other rates, and there's a few very low rates, but if you look at the average rate, we're right in the amount that the other cities are charging. So with that, if you have any questions, I
know I was going to bring up, I looked at Maple Valley, because that was the one that had the really low rate, and they have a huge budget for streets, and so they don't need to increase their stormwater rate because they have a street budget. And so I just wanted to bring it up that they are handling their stormwater in a different manner than we are, and that's why their stormwater rates were lower, because they have a big budget for keeping their streets clean, and they use that budget for their stormwater.
Yes, that is an option. Some cities do that and do all their street sweeping through their street department. But right now our street department is really strained to have enough money to pay their operating expense.
Councilmember Edelman?
Well, I just want to kind of set the record straight. On November 15th, we did have a work study prior to our regularly scheduled council meeting to talk about this. Mm-hmm. And it was very informative, and it was very interactive with all of the council people. And that is available online if you are not here to witness it in person. And also, it's not on the consent agenda for Thursday's meeting. It is item number 7 on the agenda. So I just want to make sure that
Thank
we
you.
Set the record straight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anybody wishing to address council on the public hearing for the ordinance regarding the increase in the monthly stormwater rate? Kristen?
Hello again, Mayor and Council. My name is Kristen Bryant, and I live in Bellevue, and I grew up in Black Diamond, and I think I've been here repeatedly, specifically talking about stormwater issues, because I think that they are really important. Our streams
lakes, wetlands all over Puget Sound really need protection from pollution that is currently in our stormwater runoff, and we've all heard a lot about that lately on our regional news with Puget Sound is having issues with salmon populations and orca populations, and I know you on council are also aware that certainly there's runoff from roads everywhere that is dirty and pollutes our local streams as well as, and that happens everywhere, and that's why we need the stormwater fees. So I support what can be done to clean those up. However, I do have some concern about the rate increase. On November 15th, the spreadsheet, the information prepared by the consultant that was presented at the council special meeting to go over this in detail wasn't very clear from the audience. It was hard to see from the back of the room, and so I requested a copy of it that same night, and I was informed on November 29th, 2 weeks later, that there was no responsive record. I want to share a little bit of that email thread because it was a frustrating experience. The clerk initially informed me that on November 16th, the city received by email your records request seeking, I won't go into the document, and then reply on November 29th at 4:50 p.m. I'm sorry, this was at 4:48 p.m. And it says, at the time, the city has no responsive documents to this request. I wrote back right away and said there was a spreadsheet for display on the screen for everyone at the council meeting. My question is, how did you determine that there was nothing responsive? Then I did get a reply right away from the clerk saying, I forgot to add an email we received from Mr. Emery regarding the spreadsheet. It is attached. That attachment says, from November 28th, Mr. Emery says, I have looked everywhere and the model I had prepared is gone. I cannot explain it. This has never happened before. Somehow the file may have been transferred off my computer. Says that he will recreate it and will get started doing so. I wasn't offered a copy of that recreated file. I guess I'll have to request it again. But in the meantime, I can't fully comment on the numbers for your hearing tonight because I was hoping to have that information and it's not available. I did look up the contract the city has with Peninsula Financial from April of 2018. I noticed that it doesn't include the standard clauses required by the city's insurance policy with the AWC RMSA. There's a whole set of clauses. You see them on lots of the contracts, the bigger ones that the city does have, but they weren't there. And I wonder, has Peninsula Financial taken its requirement to comply with the Public Records Act seriously? It's an issue that a record has disappeared. It's required to be kept, required to be available. So it appeared to me that some of the funds from the fee increase would be used to build up the capital fund and not just for stormwater operations. But I was unable to verify that due to not having the spreadsheet and the details clear enough. The agenda bill and Ms. Miller noted that in 2014, the recommended increase was that the city go increase the stormwater charge to $20 a month, but no increase was adopted. Now, 4 years later, the recommendation is to make an increase to only $19, not $20, and you've missed out on the in between time revenue. So those numbers don't really match up. How do we know which is right? I know that some of this was talked about, you know, you can compare what was said at the work study, but it bears further scrutiny. The agenda bill also says more houses were expected from new development, but these didn't occur, and so that's why the fund doesn't have enough money. But those new houses are also going to include new drivers. They're going to include
Your
new ways to contribute to the runoff. Being that it's a formal public hearing, I request 1 more minute to complete my comments.
Go ahead.
Thank you. So as I was saying, those new houses are going to increase the pollution that is on the roads. There are other operating costs that they contribute. If the stormwater fee increase is going to also help build up the capital projects fund and not just cover operating costs, it's going to contribute to capital projects that are going to result in direct financial benefit to the land developer Yarrow Bay or Oak Point, that out-of-town developer, with their out-of-state funding scheme that will add tons of traffic to Black Diamond while cutting down all the surrounding forests. Oak Point doesn't want to pay the full cost of their development, and therefore they pass it along in many small ways. When the city does these capital projects to clean up stormwater, they add phosphorus and pollutants to the Lake Sawyer watershed. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address the public hearing on the increase to the monthly stormwater fee? Seeing no one, I will close this public hearing. We now have a public hearing for the final budget for our 2019 operating budget. Ms. Miller.
Thank you, Council. We have been before the Council many times with the budget as we start fairly early in mid-year. We've had work studies on September 27th. October 18th, October 25th, November 8th, and public hearings on November 8th, November 15th, and tonight's final public hearing. So I think we've done a good job sharing with Council what is in the budget document. The budget document itself is in balance for all funds. It does include an increase to the fund balance. We did receive one public comment from Craig Goodwin, and we put a copy of that in front of you tonight. It was a very good comment, commending the city for increasing fund balance, because that's very difficult to do when you're beginning to grow and you're starting to see a little revenue. It's risky to go ahead and just immediately add a bunch of new positions. So it's really always a balancing act, and he commented on the conservative nature. Also commented that that we might want to do a five-year growth on the master plan development project. So I appreciate his comments and having that added to the public record. Our focus this year in the budget was primarily on public safety. I think most cities focus mainly on public safety. That's our police, our fire, and our courts, and our emergency management. This year, we also increased our budget for the community development to make sure that our fees then are paying for the additional cost related to the capital projects. And we set some money aside for the first time for code enforcement, so both in the legal budget and the community development budget. So that would be good to have some funds in there to really focus on that. We've got money in there for the utilities, money in there for capital projects, and I think it's a really good budget. We've attached a copy of what the ordinance will look like. It's scheduled for a Thursday night, and also a requirement is that we have the salary schedule, and we've attached that also. So if you have any questions, this is a public hearing, and I'm here to answer questions.
So is there anyone wishing to address Council on the public hearing for the 2019 operating budget?
Before we do that, can I say one thing?
Sure.
I just want to thank May and her whole team for all the hard work. It's a lot of work, and getting us up to speed on it is a lot of work too. So, excuse me, we appreciate all the work. Good job. Thank you.
Is there anyone wishing to address council? Seeing no one, we will close this public hearing. The next item on the agenda is a resolution amending the city fee schedule regarding the niche fee. Mr. Botcher. Thank you.
As you may know, we recently installed a new columbarium wall, which has a niches for placement of cremated remains in the cemetery. With the cost of the new columbarium wall, as well as our cost of assisting with the installation, it was noted that we really did need to increase our fees in order to recover our costs. We're not trying to make money on selling the niches. We're just trying to cover our costs. The last time that the fees were increased is when the wall was installed, which was around early 2000s, or that was the initial fee, and it was based on the cost of the of that columbarium wall. In this one, we also wanted to cover the cost of administration. There's cost in coordination with people that are coming in to purchase, for purchasing and selling the niches. There's also the cost of project management and bidding and the project management part of it, as well as the site prep work, which is men and equipment. So we tried to take that into account. What I handed out is I was trying to find some niche prices. One of you had asked how much do other people charge. This one popped up. Most of them did not publish their prices, but this one, the niches vary from $2,900. I guess there's one $7,000. So from $2,900 to $7,000. But this is probably a private place, and so they're going to charge whatever the market. If people will pay that much, you'll be able to buy them. But they're trying to. It's a business. So. I looked up on, there's a cremation niches guide for entombment and columbarium and mausoleums. It's sort of a website, just an educational website. And on that website, it says the prices typically vary from $700 to $3,000. So evidently they didn't look up our rates because we're still under the under that one. So anyway, that gives you kind of where we sit with others.
Councilmember Deedy?
So just a little bit off of that. So I was just curious, you know, so we went from 415 for a niche.
Isn't it 350?
350.
352.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now we're going to 600, is that correct?
Yes.
So I'm just curious on how the board worked on getting that, figuring out we're going to go from 350 to 600. How, you know, obviously we're not here to make money,
mm-hmm.
but it seems, as a resident, a huge jump. So I'm just kind of curious on how they worked the numbers and said,
well, the price to purchase the wall itself divided by the 48 niches.
Okay, so that's where I saw the 415.
Yeah,
after dividing that.
Right. Then there's, you know, we had three people there and backhoe. We had to reconstruct the rock wall behind, men and equipment, and time and expense. Then there's project management in coordination with Wilbur Vault, bringing paperwork to the council for purchase. So there was that bidding process, administrative process. And then it cost money to coordinate with 48 different people, or maybe not that many, because some people buy two or three, but and handling money. And then the board, there was some discussion about that, about, you know, at first they talked about the ones that always sell first at the top, and then having a higher price on the top and a lower price on the bottom that nobody ever seems to want to buy until it's the only ones that are left. They finally went against doing that and said, let's just have one, keep it simple, let's just have one price. But they wanted a little higher so that than actual cost, because costs of these keep going up, and salaries, other city costs keep going up. And there is some maintenance so on the wall itself. So we've had things crack, and we have to mortar things back and make sure it's stable. So there was some of the things that were in the discussion. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Councilmember Edelman.
All right, so, you know, I was talking to my husband about this, and he thought $600 was extremely reasonable, and, you know, I'm Catholic, and so I was shocked that Mount Calvary was charging as much as they do. But when, if I were to go buy a niche or two, that covers, basically this is a cost recovery resolution at this point. So if I want to be put into a niche, there's obviously going to be some other costs involved at the time that I pass away, correct?
Yes, there is additional charges for placement.
Okay.
And that's record keeping and the cost of placement.
Yeah. Well, and I just figured, you know, it's one thing. It's like anything else, that when you go buy a product, if you have to buy the service that goes with it, there's always an add-on, which, you know, based on this, it's $415.79 for each niche. If you take the $19,958 and divide it by 48 niches, and then just your administrative staff costs that are associated with it. So I think it's really reasonable, and I support this. And we talked about this in the Public Works. Actually, I guess it was a cemetery online. We did emails back and forth. So I don't... You know, neither Chris nor I had any heartburn with this.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, it's been 20 years since we've had any cost adjustment. I mean, prices go up a lot over that time. It's very uncommon for cities to keep cemeteries anymore, right? They and to find one that you could get interment in, in for this low of a cost is a huge benefit to the citizens of the city. So I'm fine with this.
Okay, thank you.
So, unless there's other comment, I move to adopt Resolution 18-1281, amending the city fee schedule to raise the cemetery niche purchase fee from $350 to $600.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is a resolution approving an agreement with Call Tower for United Phone System. Mr. Reed.
Hello. I'm going to sit if that's okay. My back is screwed up and standing doesn't help, so don't take it personally. All right, well, this has been a long day coming. We've been kind of started this endeavor back in January. The whole process of getting a phone system sounds petty and sounds easy, something you can just go out and buy at the store, but unfortunately there's lots of details and, yeah, Chris. And for us, basically, as it stands now, we currently have three phone systems in our throughout our different buildings. This system is there to replace all of them. So we're going to get one unified solution across the entire city. We're going to be getting a new set of phone numbers as part of the plan to unify all of our different area codes and phone number blocks and republish. So going forward, as we expand and grow, everything will be in the proper placement of where it needs to be. Also to replace our aging system, as some of you have not noticed, court has been difficult lately because our system did fail about a month and a half ago. We've been kind of limping along on what we can. So this is to fix all of those issues. Let me skim through this here a little bit. Lots of fluff. If anyone likes fluff, I can go through it. But basically standard corporate things, different license agreements, and the different pricing tiers. I'm going to summarize this all on whatever page number this is. The master plan here is this whole project. We call it a phone system, but it's basically broken up into a few different subsets. They're summarized in here. We are looking at a part of this also getting new internet service for the City Hall complex. We've been having a lot of services outages over the years, some pretty bad ones recently with both our phones and our internet over there. We cannot replace our phone system in that area without also replacing the internet, because we'll have a nice new phone system that still won't work, right? So we kind of put these two together to solve two birds, one stone. Some side effects of that, there's also some wiring issues that contribute to some of our outages and issues. We've had some power problems. Some of those have been resolved. Some of are also taken care of in this whole big package. I'm going to skip because the couple little items I want to talk about first, because they're quick and simple. The internet service we're looking at getting is the same internet service we use in this complex. It's from King County INET. It's a few more dollars, but it's redundant. It's stable. We've never had an outage here. Very reliable. We are able to get that service over another complex, so that's kind of what we chose. Also gives us a lot of growth expansion. Choose we want to either move buildings, consolidate differently. There's a lot of flexibility in that solution, being that they can connect our buildings together for us if need be, or it just saves a lot of potential down the road. We also need to pull some wiring between our front building, the admin building, and the community development public works building. Currently we have an old Ethernet cable that runs through underground in several locations through the landlord's space up through their ceiling. I don't know the history. It was put at the very specification limit that it was really should have been when it was installed. It was probably due to necessity at the time. It's had some damage. We also can't run any new phone system over that. That's also in this quote to get that replaced with some current fiber. I believe it's like $3,700 or so. It's a chunk of change, but it is what it is. It'll be contracted out. We have a couple miscellaneous pieces we have to purchase as part of the internet/phone project. There's a router and things that we need to get, just as little stuff. It adds up $1,200, I believe, for that one. Those are all like just the one-up costs that kind of allow us to do the phone vendor, which is Call Tower. I can go on, so stop me if I'm driving you nuts.
Well, I have some statements just really quick.
Yep.
So three phone numbers will stay the same. All the others will go away.
Yes, we're looking at keeping the City Hall main number, the police department's main number, and court's main number. We're also going to be keeping a few of the fax numbers that are also very popular. I kind of excluded all the fax from here because it doesn't. We're just not going to alter. The court being a big one, their fax number is very well published and is used heavily. City Hall's main fax number. Those are all kind of separate build anyway, so we're just going to leave them alone. The new set of phone numbers we're looking at, we're going to be turning on roughly 46 numbers out of the box, all the active lines that we use throughout the city, and we're going to be parking another 75 phone numbers. So we're going to buy a block of, my brain's fried, so we'll have 75 extras. So for the next 20 years or however long we want to be, as we grow and need numbers, and they're not necessarily per person, so you get a new office cubicle, sometimes menus in the phone system require them, they come up, but that way we'll have availability to keep our same phone number block so we don't ever get into the shoes we're in now where we have two different area codes and four different number blocks, and it's kind of a mess. They're very, very reasonably priced to just park those numbers because you can never do it again. So you have to get them up front.
So one of the other things, we met with you, the finance committee, Ms. Stout and I. So one of the other things with Call Tower is that the reason we're looking at them or we picked them is because they were willing to work with the city on saving some costs.
Yes.
Where other entities that we looked at were not willing to work with the city on saving. It was either all of their products or no go.
To be honest, I mean, everyone was willing to work with us, just obviously to a varying degree. For us, the reason that these guys stuck out is, one, it's a Cisco platform, which everyone knows that name. You might not fully understand it, but they're one of the biggest providers of phones, high-end. Go to any bank, hospital, they use the same system. We currently have a very old version of that same system at City Hall now. So one of the benefits is this company, unlike other Cisco providers I did look at, are willing to let us reuse all of our old Cisco product, which I was actually kind of shocked by that, because others, even though they would work, they just don't want you to do it. So they were very flexible with that, and among some other contract issues, just terms of our agreements. They're a company that's been around for about 14 years. They have a few offices, but I know other people that have used them. At first, we were a little concerned because of some of their pricing and just Cisco's. Everyone knows that kind of they're expensive, but after haggling with them a little bit and kind of playing some competitors against each other. You let everyone compete for your business kind of thing. They did come down on their pricing a little bit, allowing us to reuse some of our devices. Also, the bang for your buck, because we're actually looking at purchasing the phones. We were originally going to lease them, but after doing a little more due diligence, we can actually save quite a bit of money by purchasing these, and we're actually able to, speaking with Ms. Miller. So that adds to the choice. It's still a little bit more expensive when you look at it just on its face, but when you dig into a little bit of actually what we're getting, we're purchasing equipment that still has value. Our current system's, 15 years old? Those phones are still valuable. So unlike the rent-to-own, so we're going to purchase this equipment, and even if we change our mind 10 years from now, we can recoup some of the value. That's part of that decision. Also, if we ever change our mind or want to expand capability, there's nothing you cannot do with that system. There are limits to almost all the other ones in some way or another. Here, if we decide we want to have video conferencing, any bell and whistle you can think of, we don't have to reinvent the wheel, and there are services that can just be added on. There's some value in that. Also, too, it's very simple compared to some of the other solutions, which from management, from my point of view, and just costs that go with having to babysit, is also important. The last piece that stuck out to me was, if you read the fine print on their contract, even without haggling, that was impressive, was the fact that they do have in there that their contracts renew at the same price. The fact that they were forthcoming with that is unique. You can get that out of vendors, but usually you have to twist their arm a little bit. So it stuck out. So that was kind of some of the factors we chose there.
So I have one more question, if you guys don't mind. So I didn't ask this at the meeting, the finance meeting, because I just thought about it. But so there's been talk around city about either MDART moving into 10 trails within the year or two, or the city itself moving into 10 trails for City Hall. So my question is that a huge cost with the system, or is it just pretty easy to transfer?
It's totally transferable. Moving any of our buildings is going to require a little bit of work, and it's no more or less than as expected. It's just changing the E911 locations and a little bit of downtime, which obviously moving a building. Right. But it's nothing. There's no difficulties or added. It may be $30 a month. Okay. There's one device on here that we'd have to get for another building. I think they charge $30 a month for. It's very negligible.
We're in the midst of the budget, so yeah. If MDART is moving over there in a year, let's just say next year, should there be something in the budget that has a cost for doing so, or just to offset that? So it's good to hear. That there's just costs anyways to move a building and move people. So it's just a thought that there's actually they can look at.
Yeah, if we actually moved all of the city in various ways, this is a very transportable system. It's actually the difficulties are just moving internet service, and the core services are way more difficult than this will be to port with it. That's one of the other advantages of going with this style solution. They're not the only ones doing this. It's more just the modern way, but it does kind of get you away from your building a little bit. Whereas currently now, with all the service we have, just moving that to another place and keeping it online is a huge project. Any of these new systems, for the most part, do have a lot simpler solutions for being portable. They don't necessarily like it, but it works.
Councilmember Stow?
A couple of things. You mentioned the E911, and this will bring a measure of safety to the city, where if there is an emergency at one of the various locations throughout the city, that information will go directly to a 911 dispatcher where that emergency is occurring, instead of just the main city number, which, you know, you could be in multiple locations and they could technically respond just to that one place.
Correct. So the basic premise of E911 is when you call from any of our phones, that phone will be associated with a specific address, whereas right now they're associated with addresses, but they're generic to the campus. So in any of there's some kind of, you know, crazy active shooter or medical issue, the City Hall campus, they're going to show up front. Where if someone's having a heart attack back by the mayor's office, every minute matters. Whereas with this, with one unified system, all of our buildings will be broken up, including the public workshop across the way, because that is now hooked up to our system. So even over there, if there's an accident or anything, if someone grabs a phone instinctively there, they'll know where they are.
The other point I wanted to make was I've been going to finance committee meetings now for just under a year, and we have seen multiple bills every month for internet, and it's another phone bill,
yes.
It's another phone bill. And this will consolidate that, which that can only streamline and make for ease of auditing, ease of keeping track financially what's going on, just a whole better thing. Thanks for helping bring us into the modern world.
Oh, thank you. I was going to say the best closure, because you just touched on it. The current services that we pay now, it was painstaking to go through the many, many bills and spreadsheets. We're actually going to be able to cancel about $2,015 a month in service that we currently pay. Between all the buildings, there's no contracts on any of our. It's going to be a little challenge getting them shut off, but there's no binding cancellation fees or anything. The new system, the phone system itself, is $2,000 a month with the rentals. Since we made a choice to purchase, we're only looking at like $1,300 a month, and the new internet's $400. So we're actually getting new internet service, a new phone system, for less than we're paying now, if you really look at it that way. And even if you monetize out the costs that we're paying for the phones over a 10-year project, it actually saves us. It's actually saving money, technically. It just doesn't look like it on the surface, because we're front-loading a lot of it in the first 3 years. But if you spread it out with what we're currently paying, it's basically free.
And just thanks to you for all your
thank
hard
you.
Work.
Councilmember Edelman.
What's the schedule for this to be happening? That's
well,
the one thing that I didn't
ASAP.
See.
There's a lot of moving parts. So the way I see it right now, there's a lot of things that have been on hold, just waiting to get all the meeting. If this gets approved, basically in the next couple days, we're going to get the wiring scheduled, because that's ready to go. I got to get the contract signed, because there's about a 30-day time period just for them to kind of, we got to get all the phones purchased and sent, just to start the pieces moving. So originally we were trying to get it done by the end of the year. I can't guarantee that'll be it, but we're talking ASAP probably January. Okay. ASAP for court, because I know they're really having some issues.
Well, because this is a resolution, it's not an ordinance, the mayor will sign it tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping. But
and
it's
so
gonna be,
once we approve it tonight, it'll be a done deal
yeah.
for you.
So, I mean, it'll just be calling all the vendors and getting the pieces in motion. But reasonably, probably 30 to 45 days. And it's going to be a big adjustment, because I'm going to need a lot of the staff, because we don't have auto attendance now. We're going to have phone control that we've never had. So we're going to get a lot of feedback from all the departments of what they want to have available to the public, how we want some of our workflows. So it's going to be a little bit new for everybody,
sure.
But nothing nothing we haven't seen before or experienced before.
This is an adaptable bunch of people.
Yes, yeah. It won't be that bad, but it'll just be the holidays.
And I do want to thank you because you just do a tremendous job, and it's all on you. You have a staff, so.
Yeah, me, myself, and I, all three of us.
Yeah. I make a motion to approve resolution number 18-1281, authorizing the mayor to execute an agreement with Call Tower for the purchase and installation of a new unified phone system.
I second the motion.
Any further discussion?
Sure. Rob, I've been in your shoes multiple times. I'm glad you're wearing them this time.
I know. It's funny, with everything else we got going on, it's like the phones, it's like, oh, this has been easy. Now it's all done, but it's like, we all know phone projects in our profession are not.
Yeah.
Phones and email, the one thing everyone must have, and believe me, they flip out when they don't. It's a very sensitive subject, even though you'd like to turn them off.
Going with Cisco's a smart choice. I mean, they are the IBM of today, right? The old saying used to be, nobody ever got fired by going with IBM.
No.
Nobody ever gets fired by going with Cisco. They're reliable. They may be a little bit more expensive.
Yeah, you pay for the privilege a little, but.
You get it back long term. And I've put in multiple Cisco systems. They're great phone systems. They allow you to do a lot of additional things, and bringing all three systems together will be a huge addition. Just the call attendant that he was talking about will be a huge plus for our citizens. So, good job.
Thanks.
So, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So, then it's time for our second public comment session. If you wish to address council, please come forward to the podium and state your name and city of residence and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Is there anybody wishing to address council? Kristen.
Hello again, Mayor and Council. My name is Kristen Bryant. I'm from Bellevue, and I grew up in Black Diamond. And I wanted to make sure I closed off by confirming that, yes, it's true, I owe the council a correction. The stormwater fee increase is not on the consent agenda for Thursday. I apologize, I made a mistake when I looked at the items on the website, possibly because they display slightly differently this week. But I'm glad to have the chance to thank you for only putting the normal minutes and routine payments on the consent agenda for Thursday. That's a much better process than some of the times that there have been other items on there. And I wanted to also take the one more minute to add, to make clear my point regarding the stormwater pollution issues. Oak Point's massive land development project will result in stormwater pollution and runoff from their development. Yet they do have a requirement of no net phosphorus pollution increase to Lake Sawyer. To meet this, they will take advantage of what they call offsetting projects to clean the stormwater elsewhere in the city. And those projects are paid for by the taxpayers of the city, the county, and the state. And I feel the city should tighten up and improve its laws on new development. Or the taxpayers have to keep paying to clean up the developer's mess, and overall the waterways don't get any cleaner. Thank you.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? Seeing no one, I will close this public comment. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.